The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. See Live Off the Record with Cheval Goulang is sponsored by Burger King and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Cheval Goulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. I'm actually coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, where the 25th Annual International African American Hotel Ownership and Investment Summit and Trade Show is happening. That's also including the 8th Annual International Multicultural and Heritage Tourism Summit. And I'm here, of course, you know, the head of the National Association of Black Hotel Owners is Bahamas' own Andy Ingram. He's president and founding, actually, president of the association. And Andy is somewhere in the conference center today. And we expect at some point to have a word with him. Actually, very large conference, a well-attended conference, attended by some very significant players in the hotel business. Today I listened to a panel with a number of CEOs who are actually CEOs of groups that have and own some of the brands in the Bahamas, including SNL, Comfort Suites, and the like, and sharing some very interesting information for sure, some of which could be useful to our own prospects in the tourism industry going forward. But we'll talk about that some more as we move along. If you want to give us a call at all today on the show, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. That's 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. So you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. That's 4393043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So I might interrupt our discussion today if I see Mr. Ingram make his way to us. But I did want to broach again some issues related to our approach to the speech from the throne. I especially want to comment on it in light of the Free National Movement's response to the speech from the throne. Now, I didn't have any prior discussion with Juan McCartney on this matter. I did not. I only listened to some of the show that he had just before now. And I have to say, I have to confess that when I read the statement by the Free National Movement, almost immediately the words came to my mind, are you serious? No, seriously, I only meant because the way the response to the speech from the throne was positioned by the Free National Movement was to suggest that the speech from the throne is something that it is not and never has been. Okay? Listen to me now. It is hard to suggest that the blueprint for change presented by the Progressive Liberal Party is a plan, as in a detailed plan for doing anything, because it's not. It's a set of aims, objectives, pronouncements, promises, but there are no details in there about how you're going to fund it, how you're going to resource it in terms of people and manpower and systems. There's no information about anything about building out those plans. Similarly, the Free National Movement's manifesto is not a plan that details out anything about how you're going to fund it, how you're going to resource it in terms of manpower, systems, technology, none of that. No one could pick that up and go, oh, I could get this done because I have details about it. Well, if your political documents put before the people of the Bahamas in terms of election doesn't have those details, if you're having a speech delivered by the Governor General, which speech is supposed to lay out your legislative agenda? What laws are you going to introduce? What laws are you going to amend? What laws are you going to repeal? Why would you think that in that speech from the throne, you would have how you're going to fund it, how you're going to resource it, and that kind of thing? I mean, that's an absolute nonsense, especially when just about a little over 4 years ago, the FNM presented its speech from the throne, which had none of that. Not a sink, nothing about financing the plan, nothing about resourcing the plan, nothing. Why would it? That's not what a speech from the throne is about. A speech from the throne is read at the opening of a parliamentary session. What's a parliamentary session? A parliamentary session is a session for the passage of legislation, laws. It's not the budget, where you talk about how you're going to raise revenue to fund the various expenditures of the government. That's not where you do that. Not a speech from the throne. So I really thought, listen, the FNM's response to the speech from the throne had some valid points for sure in it. Raised some valid questions for sure. But it already reflects a failure of the FNM to understand why it lost and where it is. Already, it needs to have another tack. But next time, this is your first one, just like this one by the Progressive Liberal Party, isn't as strong as it could have been. It is not. It could have been much more thoughtful. It could have been much more substantive, but it is not. And so they have time to adjust as well. But the FNM needs to adjust also, because that response was really not well thought through. It was not. Get angry with me if you want. Hey, what can I say? Join the line, right? It could have been better thought through. Let me give you an example of something that reflects the fact that the Free National Movement does not appreciate yet some members, it seems, where it is. Okay. In the 2017 speech from the throne, the FNM presented a substantive legislative agenda. Let me say, substantive. It had lots of offerings, and it was substantive. I'm gonna help you see it. Compared to that, the PLP speech from the throne is a light agenda. The PLP's 2012 speech from the throne compared to the FNM's 2017 speech from the throne, light agenda, light. Why do I say that? In 2017, the Free National Movement, that's the Menace administration, outlined 23 legislative initiatives it was going to pursue. 23. Most of them, I'm saying the vast majority of them, were in fact new proposals. These were to enact new laws. These were not to amend laws. These were to enact new laws. Let me give you an example. And I want the FNM to listen carefully. The FNM committed through a referendum to pass legislation for an independent electoral commission, for term limits for the prime minister, for a recall system for members of parliament. It committed to passing legislation for an independent director of public prosecution, for legislation to establish and strengthen an independent auditor general's department office. It committed to enact a Court Services Act to remove the Office of the Judiciary from the public service. It committed to enacting legislation for import standards, status standards on import products, imported products. It committed to enacting legislation to produce a national intelligence agency. It committed to producing legislation for the conditional release, so I think, of prisoners. It committed to enacting legislation to establish a gun and gang unit. Legislation to mandate preschool learning for 2.5-year-olds, to enact laws to establish the Ministry of Environment, to enact a Child Protection Act, to enact legislation for misusing parking accessibility for physically disabled persons. It agreed to enact rent-to-own legislation. It committed to providing for a Public Procurement Act, for legislation to meet international obligations with respect to financial regulation and supervision, for legislation to reduce legislation for domestic financial services, and legislation to introduce and to strengthen financial regulations. All of those things. Those were just the new introduction acts. That's not about the ombudsman and the amendments, etc. All told, 23 pieces of legislation. The PLP is 2021, three from the throne, has about 13 legislative commitments. 13 expressed actionable legislative commitments. Most of them are amendments to existing laws. Most of the 16 laws were passed by the FNM. In 2012, under Mr. Christie, 13 legislative commitments in the speech from the throne. 13. And none of them had no how you finance this and finance that, resource this and resource that. Not the PLP, not Ingram. Ingram in his speeches from the throne never mentioned any such thing. Where did I come from? Now, here's why I say the FNM don't realize where it is. You go down that list that I just read. Is there an independent electoral commission through a referendum in the Bahamas? No. Is there term limits for the prime minister in the Bahamas? No. Is there MP recall system in the Bahamas? No. Is there an independent director of public prosecution? Well, I think so. I think the FNM, I think Ingram might have done something about that. was the Public Disclosure Act amended? No. Was the legislation amended to strengthen the independent auditor general's office? No. Was the Court Services Act amended to remove the Office of Judiciary from public service? I don't think so. And you could go down the list and down the list, and you will see that more than 70% of what was promised were never accomplished. Very substantive, very substantial legislative agenda. Just ignored. Ignored. And I think when you look at the speeches from the throne, with some exceptions, you'll find that this is what happens. Because Mr. Christie's speeches from the throne and all that was promised, similarly, in terms of fulfilling the obligations, not really paid attention to. Not in terms of the legislation that was put forward to the public. Now, when you have that kind of a track record, if you're the FNR, of fulfillment, of non-fulfillment of your promises, you have to take a different tack when it comes to criticizing other people, right? Especially if you retain the leader who was at the helm when you did, and you retain the leader who remains at your head after a massive electoral defeat. You got to come with a different kind of voice if you are going to build confidence in yourself again. You got to be sharper. You have to be more thoughtful, and you have to have some humility. You have to have some humility that reflects, you know what? You know, we may not have done this, and we probably should have paid more attention to this. But if the new administration wants to advance beyond what we did, they should look more carefully at this. You can't look at the substance of what they're doing and comment on the substance of what they're doing, bearing in mind that you can't seem and appear hypocritical when you do, if you don't acknowledge failures on your part and seek to clear the path for successes on the government side. And I thought that that particular statement, listen, guys, let me tell you something. Listen to me. And all of these parties make this mistake. All of them. There's some smart people in the Bahamas. You hear me? Very smart people. Very knowledgeable people. There are also some people who are wise. They're not just smart and knowledgeable. They are wise, meaning they can look at an approach you're taking, a strategy that you're taking, and they can say to you, you know, given this situation, we probably shouldn't take that strategy. We should do something different so that we come across differently. There are those kinds of people too. Dr. Minnis and team, listen to me, man. You all know you all lost an election, right? You did. That means that whatever and whoever you were relying on and upon for your guidance and direction, clearly the totality of that didn't work in your favor. So now you need to rope in. And I include in this some of your members of your former cabinet that you didn't fully embrace to provide input into your happenings, or you didn't listen to. Bring them in. I know how you go, bro. I know how you go. I know how you go. But you know what? If you think it's about you, then look at what happened just recently. If you think it's about you, happen. And think, okay, given that massive defeat, given the massive non-attendance of people to vote, if you think it's about you, let it stay about you and see where that gets you. Not helpful. Y'all can do much better. Take your time, get some input, get some people who are capable of inputting sensibly into your statements because the country needs it. The country needs sensible, thoughtful commentary. This shallow, non-substantive approach to criticism is not good for the party and it's not good for the country. We can do better. We must do better. And listen, I'm saying we as a Shabagulang and FNF, we as a country can do better. Just like the speech from this room could have been better. It could have been. Could have been much more substantive. Hell, they could have taken some of the stuff which you all failed to do in the administration and put inside the speech from the throne this time, and it would have been more substantive. And that's just make sure they do it. They actually do these things this time around. There are talented people in the country. Use them. No, I'm talking about calling me. I'm not talking about calling me. That's what I'm talking about. There are lots of talented people. Some of them was in your cabinet, but you wouldn't listen to them. don't ask me. Don't ask me how I know. Some of them were in your party, but you didn't listen to them because they were Ingramites. Yeah, and we wasn't listening to Ingramites. They weren't loyal to you personally, so you didn't listen to them. Well, look at what you got. Don't repeat that mistake. Don't repeat that mistake. And if you're going to remain the leader of the party, for instance, Dr. Minnis, as leader of the, mean that for a period of time, given your unpopularity as displayed by the election results, given the party's unpopularity as displayed by the election results, you have to have a different tact. That just stands to reason. You can't do the same thing over and repeatedly and expect a different result. Why? Because you think people can just start disliking Mr. Davis? I can assure you, Mr. Davis's personality does not lend itself easily to dislike. Now, he could allow the power he now has to swell his head, and he can act like you did when you came to office. And it could cause him a problem, that's for sure. As it did Mr. Christie. But you could change. You could do it differently. But you got to do it smart. You have to do it intelligently. You have to do it wisely. That's the reality. And folk, let me tell you something. Y'all get mad at me if you want. I am rooting for Mr. Davis, and I'm rooting for the Free National Movement in opposition. I'm rooting for both of them to be good. Because if we have a solid government and a solid opposition, we'll have a solid democracy. I'm rooting for them. I don't care who get mad with me. That don't make no difference to me. This is not about me. The country needs better. And I have a lot to say about this. So stay tuned. Listen to Z Live. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand.
Mastercard?
I ain't Mastercard. The lady run into me, Mastercard.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For what, that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store certificates, protest days, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.eafbahamas.com to register.
We have a new text message from Scotia. Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas@scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
Summer's heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shafaro Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a text here, yes, as Ministers gone now, brave, and the PLP is in charge. My brother, you could try. My sister, you could try and get off easy all you want. It don't work like that. It doesn't work like that. How is he gone? How is he gone? He's now the leader of the opposition. He's now part of our process, and he's now commenting. These are talk shows. If those of you all who can't take a little bit this chafing, buddy, stay anonymous. So nobody will ever know your name. Nobody know. Just keep sending your text in. But it don't work like that. Right? Yes, all of yesterday I went through the PLP's speech from the throne. Was it flattery? Was it flattering? It was not. I was talking about all day yesterday what the PLP put in the speech from the throne. Now, is it supposed to be a legislative agenda? Not work out that way yet. And the PLP just came to office. They got lots of days and lots of days for their activities to be observed, and they will be. So don't try and pretend and play like this is a circumstance where people are just only picking on Dr. Minnis and so forth and so forth, because you are selective in your observations of life. It doesn't work like that. You can't be in public life as Dr. Minnis will be, as Brave Davis, the Prime Minister, will be in those, and people will not comment on your behavior, activities. Otherwise, why would you send out a press statement if you don't want members of the media to pick it up? Why would you do that? It don't make sense. All right? So that kind of shallow, unthinking approach to, oh, Minister, I'm gone now, that ain't gonna help us, man. And you're not gonna stop us from commenting in that regard, okay? The FNM statement raised some valid points, but could have been stronger, should have been stronger, should have been more reflective of the circumstances in which the party finds itself. It should have been more reflective of an understanding of what a speech from the throne should have been. Just as the Liberal Party should have and could have been more substantive in its own legislative agenda. Its legislative agenda, I said yesterday, is at best midweight. At best, it's not heavyweight. It's not weighty. It could have been. Maybe they're going to retackle later on. I don't know. But it is not. All right. And so the comments will go and flow as we observe what we observe in the happenings. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. You're hitting hard today, but you are spot on regarding the FNM response to speech from the throne. I'm hitting as hard as the response I heard warrants. Okay, that's the reality. And I'm hitting hard because whether y'all believe it or not, if there is ever a time when people believe there isn't an alternative to the government, then your democracy weakens. And so you want your opposition to be strong. You need them to be strong, especially given that only a few of them when their voices come out and they sound wise and substantive, they get people leaning in. And people, you have lots of F&M supporters, maybe even some independent voters, who are listening up to see, okay, can I come back now and rally here? That's what they're listening for. And that's an important thing, because if the PLP feels that pressure, then they will be more prepared to do what they have to do in a manner that is worthy of support. And that makes the country better off. That's the point, right? We want the country to be better off, right? And whatever people think of Dr. Minnis, he will be the leader of the Free National Movement, whether you want him there or not. He is the leader of the Free National Movement, and we therefore have to rely upon him, right? The leadership for that good opposition we need in a strong democracy. That's what we need. It is in his hands. Okay? Say, is Dr. Minnis a Taurus? Say, many hats are in the ring for the F&M leadership. It may involve the kind of bloodletting that needs a doctor. This text says, Mr. Lang, Mr. Minnis should check with Mr. Christie, who was trying to tell him at 2:30 p.m. on election day that he lost the government. And he laughed. Perry was trying to pass on what happened to him in 2017. No mention of the VAT break was mentioned from the speech. Correct me if I am wrong. The Bible is right. A house divided cannot stand. F&M went to battle divided. Okie dokie. Well, who didn't mention VAT in the speech from the throne? Not Mr. Davis does, because that's in their speech from the throne. He committed in the speech from the throne to from 12% to 10%. So you did miss it, if that is the point that you're making. They definitely have committed to doing so. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing?
I am great. The teacher to me came out when I heard you pronounce the word, and I want you to be the best you can be.
Okay, which word was that?
Rachel Maddow and Joe Scarborough calls that word incorrectly, too, but they're not in my country, so I don't really care about them like that.
Which word is this?
It's substantive, which is a three-syllable word, S-T-A-N-T-I-V-E, substantive. And I think, you know...
And how did I pronounce it?
Substantive.
Okay. Okay.
So I love you, boy, and it's easy
substantive. So you, it's not substantive, you want it substantive.
It is the substantive. Joe Scarborough and Rachel Maddow, they mispronounce, but they're not like us.
Okay. So you want me to say substantive. So you want
yes.
Okay.
Three syllables. Okay. The A-S-T-A-N.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll try to remember.
I listen to you all the time.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate the teacher and you.
I hope you don't mind.
Not at all.
Okay, darling. Okay, sweetie.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. Okay. So we have some text here I want to read for you. It says, great show as usual. The speech yesterday was boring, but I like some key points they made. One, to raise the minimum wage. Two, raise the payment of pensioners. And a couple others I like, but what I did not like, why the PLP speakers had to keep saying they win by a large majority. They don't think we already know that. So, man, what do you mean? Say it every now and again. They didn't say that a lot in the speech from the throne, though. But you'll hear that. Why wouldn't they say it? It's kind of a little bragging, but that's the truth. They won by a large majority of seats. By the way, when the F&M raises the question of how is going to reconcile reducing the VAT with being fiscally responsible, that's a legitimate point. When the F&M asks about how it's going to pay for increases in pension, that's a legitimate point. The F&M may not have raised it, but when you raise the minimum wage, which I am not against per se, there are going to be implications in a bad economy for doing that. So that's going to raise some eyebrows for sure. And not only raise the minimum wage, but move in the direction of a livable wage. And as far as I know, the only study that has been done on a living wage in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that can serve as some objective reference point is that which was done by the Government and Public Policy Institute. And so if you're talking about moving in the direction of that living wage, okay, that's going to have some eyebrow raising. You know, we published the study and the one of the leadership of the Employers Confederation was all over us, wondering where we get it from. So, you know, Texas also, Mr. Lang, flu session seasoning is coming. This might be a big mess health-wise, okay? So if Mr. Minnis get out of this mess, he is in people not wanting him to be leader. I will tilt my hat off to him, but people will change. If he act differently, people might actually like him. You never know. That's right. People can change, and that can happen. This text, I hope you ain't done. Substantive. Thank you. Says independent DPP was ministers. Okay, so yes, they did the independent director of public prosecution. So that piece of legislative promise was fulfilled, it says, and probably about the only thing they did. Enjoying the analysis. Lord, you're preaching today. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good day. How you doing, Chicago?
Hey, I'm right here, man. How are you?
Chicago, I like you. I'm going the speech from, but I didn't listen to much of it because I pretty much anticipate really know what they can say already from past. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, but for the life of me, I don't understand. Just like how they have like a Chicago line, which was a former member and minister of the FNM. And know all the protocols more than most. I mean, I don't, even in the past, I haven't heard people, well, I don't know if they know, but they don't come on the radio and stuff and explain it to us, to the little people. You understand? Like the protocols and the this and the that or whatever. So a lot of them don't know. They don't take the time to read it. They don't take the time to study it. It's in there to get the minister to run the ship like I used to run. And no one takes the time to read the manual or fix to go good. But they have like a Chicago line or a Warren McCart or even like Ingram or whoever in their parties. And it's like they don't sit down before they make a request release or announcement or even an editorial in the paper. If no one don't sit down and like, let's discuss this, is it good for me to say this? That's how it works. Like this. It is like nobody don't say that. They just come out. They were supposed to say, I'm talking about in response to the speech from the throne. And it's like, and not only that, even in just about, I don't want to call names, but in both parties, when they come out and make political announcements or they get catch, and it seems like they always do it when they are at a party where there's a lot of music behind, so they could say whatever, and you just try to let it slip by. But, you know, I really like to hear them say, you know what, let me contact Chicago or somebody, or you know, somebody on this party, or have somebody designated to do protocols or press releases or whatever before we get sort of stuff on the move.
I appreciate what you're saying, but you know, the truth is, honestly, they don't even have to call, say, me or an Ingram. If you broaden your grouping of persons you consult widely enough and make sure you have a diversity, what we call cognitive diversity, where you have thinkers who don't think the same way, you will end up with a better statement. And it doesn't have to be Chicago inputting. It doesn't have to be Mr. Ingram inputting. If you have a diverse enough set of thinkers, you will have a more substantive.
Exactly with your response. Like the way you clarified that, and that's exactly what I was saying in so many words. You know, but you simplified it. We clarified it in one gulp of breath. Have a good day.
You too, my brother. Have a good one. Now, let me tell my friend who called me. I am Google searching because I like to listen to folk, but I also like to check. Miss Ingram used to say to me all the time, say, trust but verify. So the question is, what is the proper pronunciation of this word, substantive? And substantive. It is not. It's sub, S-U-B, plus Stun, S-T-U-H-N, plus T-I-V. So it is a three-syllable substantive, as I pronounce it. Okay? Now, potato, potato, it really don't make a difference, but I just wanted to reflect that it's not, you don't pronounce the stan as stan. It's stun, S-T-U-H-N, so it's substantive. All right, teacher, just wanted you to know. All right. So again, and I think if the Free National Movement wants and to do an assessment of maybe some of its challenges from the past election, it might look to the speech from the throne, for instance. But listen, let me ask you a question, folks. You're listening to me today. Movement was going into government and saying, look at what we did. We passed term limits for prime minister. We pass recall laws for members of parliament. We pass an independent election commission. We establish the office of ombudsman. We, in our first year, formalized an action and brought into force the Freedom of Information Act. We established, we amended the Public Disclosure Act to strengthen it. We did that. We made the Auditor General's office more independent. We amended the magistrate rules with date back from 1934. We enacted legislation for conditional release. We established laws for gun and crime gang unit. If those things were among the things that the Free National Movement boasted that it did while it was in office, do you not think it would have stood a better chance? I'm not saying would have, but stood a better chance to win? Do you not think so? Somebody text me and tell me if you don't think so. If it had those things in its arsenal to go to election with. This text says the FNM response to the speech from the throne was insignificant because it was weak and poorly assessed. The FNM deserved to lose, and the FNM must restore themselves. The FNM leader has been the weakest this country has seen in history. We didn't appreciate who our Minister of Health was during the last 6 months, and we are happy the FNM lost so that we can also explain why the post office deal was never tabled either. We are still looking for the FNM to explain the Oban files deal. This text says, Mr. Langer, how do you feel about the people out next month? Because I think that decision was messed up. Is that what they're doing? They're cutting it out? Or did they say that they're going to take it from that semi-private committee and put it in the hands of social services? Which is it? I have not heard that they cut it, but again, I may have missed something. This text says, Mr. Lang, I'm not a PLP, but I noticed PM Brave Davis' speech is getting better. I was actually impressed. Okay, did he give a speech, Mr. Davis, give a speech recently? Actually, you will find that over time, all prime ministers become better at public speaking, because they do it so often. They gain greater confidence and greater comfort with it. So Lyndon, of course, came with a strength to speak publicly. So he was always naturally a good speaker. Prime Minister Ingram was a good speaker, but some pronunciations and others that were a challenge for him. But over time, he overcame some of them. He became a better speaker. Even Prime Minister Christie was a good speaker always, okay? And I'd have to say, I don't know that he became a better speaker, because articulating was something he did quite easily. Dr. Minnis became a better speaker too. There's no question. He became a better speaker over time. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Chabaga. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay. And yourself?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. Good.
In the interest of national dialogue and national importance, I'm approaching this topic that you're discussing this afternoon regarding the opposition. But to highlight an important point, just as important as what you're discussing, that same level of thinking in terms of varying and differing voices or persons who have different levels of thinking or civil is just as important for a government as it is for an opposition and,
yes.
and their postmortem of,
yes.
of what they would have done, right?
Yes.
It's important, and it keeps a government sharp if a government is mature enough to utilize the voices of reasoning around them and not lock itself or not seek to lock itself in with persons who fall in line with whatever the thinking is, regardless of the consequence or the fallout. And so I wanted to add that point to it, but I also want to say, as it relates to the opposition, I agree with your analysis and what you're expressing. I think you're right on. However, I believe that given the circumstance that the current opposition leader finds himself in, not only is his approach terrible and a further turn off to the Bahamian people, but he's further solidifying why the Bahamian people were right office and the overwhelming numbers that was done. Because he's carrying on with the same level of behavior that he carried on with, which was not successful for him as government, but what was successful for him in attaining government, but definitely wore itself out as the 4 years and 3 months of his government came underway. And so I believe it would be wise for them, in my conclusion, Shabago, I believe it would be wise for the opposition to look at, for instance, a person like a Darren Cash. And I'm not saying Darren Cash specifically, because he may not have an interest in frontline politics any longer, as well as he may. But persons of that level of thinking, of that level of character, of that level of integrity, because trust needs to be restored in opposition governance in this country, Chicago. And right now, in order for government to have the most successful impact, we do need a wise and a strong and a trustworthy opposition. And so it's critical that they get it right. Thank you for the opportunity, Chicago.
Thank you. Thank you, Anton. Aaron Cash, Michael Pintard, Shannon Don Cartwright, and those, they represent excellent young leadership for the party, and there might be others. I'm just making note of those people, so I agree with you there. But I hope, Anton, that you will also encourage your own party leadership to understand and appreciate, too, that how you interpret how you win could very well be the foundation for how you lose next time. You want me to say that again? How you interpret how you won could very well be the foundation for how you lose next time. Think on these things, okay? I have a text here that says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Your pronunciation of the word substantive is spot on. Absolutely correct, sir. You're doing an awesome job. Thank you. I appreciate it. The world we live in. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news.
About the COVID vaccine raffle, if you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
You have a new text message from Scotia. Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their Scotia online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas at scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Again, trust that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call at all on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-64316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp us on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Okay, so we're talking about the speech from the throne and the Free National Movement's response to it. But I'm going to read some of your texts before I say something else about the context of these speeches from the throne. Speeches from the throne. All right. I have someone who says to me, both pronunciations are correct. I believe that, actually. I believe that. I didn't believe that the substantive is incorrect or the substantive was incorrect. I just thought that both, I mean, I just knew that the way I said it was really not even my invention. but how I heard it expressed in very many formal circles. Say the teacher needs a hobby. Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. All right, so let's see. This text says, good day, great show. I love your sincerity. Indeed, I agree. If the FNM did what they said they would do, perhaps the FNM would have been in office today or have more seats in the House of Assembly. You and I are in agreement on that. We have a text here says, the food program expired and was scheduled not to be renewed on September 30, 2021. The previous administration had already begun through urban renewal, and some of the food distributors had begun to transfer those individuals to the Department of Social Services, the PROMISE program. No clarity was provided before from the previous administration how the feeding program was to be continued beyond the transfers than had begun, and none has been provided now by current administration on whether that process is being continued or a new regime will be started. Well, I could tell you this much, whether or not you continue the food program is very much a matter of whether you believe people are still hungry and battling the consequences of COVID. We've got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Pleasant good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Yeah, I'm right here, man. And yourself?
I am very well, thanks. You know, I learned something new yesterday about the parliament and listening to the commentary by Mr. Times that there's only one session of parliament, but there are many sittings of the House. You know, and he did say that, you know, the House can be prorogued many times within the parliamentary session of the House, and that the FNM could have prorogued the House and you know, bring back a new legislative agenda. And I thought that was rather, you know, enlightening to know that piece of information. one other thing. I know the teacher called about the pronunciation of that word, but Ms. Lang, I have a problem with when these people get up and say endeavor best. You cannot do your endeavor best. You can endeavor to do your best, but you cannot do your endeavor best. So please, politician, don't say that out in public. I know that's part of our colloquialism.
But
please.
Let me help you with something. Actually, every period the parliament sits between prorogation and dissolution is a session. So there's no, it's not that, what I listened to Mr. Tynes, he didn't say that there's only one session.
Mm-hmm.
What he was saying was that you can have multiple sessions in a parliamentary term. It's not unusual, for instance, for there to be five sessions in a term stretching 5 years. What you then do is you prorogue the House the first year, and then you go into a new session, and then you prorogue the House that second year, and then you go into a new session. So each session prior to prorogation or dissolution is a session.
Oh, I see. So if the present government, they prorogues the House, let's say a year from now,
mm-hmm.
and they meet again, they set an agenda. I mean, there's no speech from the throne.
No. They don't have to. They could do it if they want. They don't have to. They can do it if they want, though.
Uh-huh. So.
Yeah, but that when they do that, they would have had a session and then enter into a new session. And, okay?
Would be called the first sitting of the session or?
No. A sitting is when the House meets.
Mm-hmm.
Each time the House meets, it's a sitting.
Okay.
The period over which a House meets is a session.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, so you will always hear that the first sitting of Parliament, it will be this one. And then when you are adjourning, the next sitting of Parliament will be next week, Wednesday or so.
Okay. So now, I think I get a clear picture now. So when the House is actually prorogued, it brings the end of that session.
That's right. When it's prorogued, it brings an end to that session. That's right.
Okay.
When it dissolves, it brings an end to that parliament.
To the parliament itself.
Itself, okay. Yes.
All right. Okay, thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome. No problems. Okay, so you have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon.
I'm doing okay. And yourself?
Okay, I hope you made safe.
Hey, yeah, man.
Yeah, in regards to yesterday, the opening of the parliament,
mm-hmm.
To me, I went once or twice down to Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
First time any of us ever been to the opening inside a building and on the grounds surrounding the building.
Well, is that so, Sparky?
Yeah, this is my first time going to, well, all of us, I believe, open our House of Assembly in a building.
No, remember the opening of Parliament in the Sunshine started on the Ingram. Prior to that time, it happened in the House.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. I remember with the tents and stuff outside and the...
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right. All right? Okay, so here's something I wanted to mention to all of you that I think that the Progressive Liberal Party may not have gotten as well as it should have and could have. And even maybe you can argue other administrations may not have as well. Even though I think there are some that did, right? So let's look at your parliament that passes laws for you. Let's look at it. I mean, if you're Mr. Davis and his team, you sit down and you really think about this, right? Ultimately, you are trying to produce a value for the people you serve. That's the Bahamian public. You want to produce an enduring value for them, right? That is, you want to meet their needs, basic needs. You want to meet their aspirations, basic aspirations. You're not trying to meet the aspiration of them being super rich. You know what I mean? Having a luxurious home. That's not what you want to make sure they are prosperous. You want to make sure that they are fed. You want to make sure they're sheltered. You want to make sure that they can live in peace and, you know, safety. You want to make sure those kinds of things. So you start there when you start putting a legislative package together. You start there. You start looking at your society and you ask yourself, what are the most important things that I can do for this society that for this society? Let me. I want to take my time with this because it is so easy, my friends. It is so easy to get caught up in the busyness of leadership that you miss the effectiveness that leadership must be. The Parliament of the Bahamas, my friends, will meet regularly, and many things they will pass in there will be nothing but routine things that must be done. The law calls for if this department does something, if this does something for the Parliament to pass to be informed, to lay before Parliament this particular report or that, routine things that will not affect whether you eat or don't eat, whether you're sheltered or not sheltered, whether you are educated or not educated. Many, many things that are done in that Parliament, necessary, lawful things to be done, but they are routine things and it can keep the Parliament busy. Mr. Get up there and Mr. Speaker, I'd like to lay before you the following report. I'd like to lay before you an amendment to this. I'd like to lay before you this and the routine stuff, and you don't care. And quite frankly, they don't care. They're just doing their job. Because the permanent secretary and those reminded them that the law calls for this, go get it done. Something the central bank may have required to be done in order to facilitate its work, they go and lay that. Again, routine administrative things, just like anybody in management knows, there's stuff you just got to do. It don't have nothing to do with making the business better, making sales better, making the business more profitable. It's all about part of the routine, and it must be done. It's a kind of maintenance function. And you could be very busy doing that. But if you're going to have a new day, if you're going to be transformative, you have got to look at your people. This is where leadership begins. You look at your people and you ask, what are the most important things I can do to make them better off by way of legislation? That's what you got to ask. Is there any law to make them better off? Is there any law I can amend that will make them better off? Is there any law that I can repeal that will make them better off? Because what is the law going to do? The law is essentially going to say what you can or cannot do. That's what the law says. That's all a law does. A law sets a limit on your behavior. That's all it does. So by law, we can curb your behavior, or by law, we can expand your behavior. Let me give you an example of that. There used to be a time in the country where the law said there shall be no other telecommunications cellular provider in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas saving and except Bahamas telecommunications company, then Patelco. Do you realize that the law said only Patelco could provide that service at one point? Your government went in the House of Assembly and passed a law that made them a monopoly. Well, then the Ingram administration went and repealed that law and created a law that made it possible for other providers of cellular services to be provided. So the law expanded the Bahamians' ability to provide telecommunication services beyond Patelco and or Bahamas Telecommunications Company. A law used to say at one time, ZNS was the only radio station provider in the whole country. The law was repealed and made provision for all these stations, including now exist. The law says you cannot take another man's life without penalty for doing so. That's what the law says. And the law says many things we can't do. The law says you must pay duty on a particular item that you bring in. But then there's another law that says if you have a hotel and you approve under the Hotel Encouragement Act, you can bring this thing in duty free. So it's laws that tell us what we can or cannot do. It sets the boundaries on our conduct and behavior in the society so that it orders us that way. So the question for the government is, what law do I want to pass that can limit behavior so that you are better off? Or what law can I pass to expand your behavior so that you are better off? And that starts with an analysis of what is troubling you. Laws address nuisances. They address challenges. They address issues of concern and well-being. So the analysis must be what troubles you. So I'm asking you today, for instance, like if you take the speech from the throne and you look at what the laws are intended to be amended and or enacted, and you ask yourself, given my troubles today, do they speak to my troubles? They may not. But I'm saying this is what the parliament is supposed to be about. It has to do, but it has to, if it wants to be impactful, you have to be able to walk away and say, wow, that helped me. Now, let me give you an example of that. And it depends on who you ask, but most people will not disagree with this. When Ingram came to office in 1992, I think Bahamians had an exemption that they could use coming from the United States of America, custom duty exemption of, I think it was $100, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken, but in any event, the law was amended to permit you to do it up to $300, or it may have been $300, and then it was up to $500 to one time, and then it was extended to $500 twice a year. Many Bahamians felt like that did something for me. Now, local merchants might feel like that didn't do anything for us because you're encouraging people to spend abroad. But the truth of the matter is people were going abroad to spend anyhow, and they were just given an exemption to benefit them in that way. So you could walk away and say that benefited me, okay? And things like that, where you get to feel through the legislation a benefit to yourself, is where the impact of social legislation comes. And I dare say that we have not felt like that in a very long time. We have not felt social legislation impacting us at home in a long time. We haven't really felt too much of that. And you have to wonder what is. Are we not seeing it? Is the parliament kind of cockeyed? Or what is happening? Maybe it's because there isn't sufficient awareness of what is troubling you. Or maybe what is troubling you cannot be amended or fixed by law. And we have to acknowledge that too. Listen, the parliament of the Bahamas should not force itself to meet. Because if you ain't got nothing substantive to do, don't do it. Meet when you have to. You know what I mean? You can have some routine things to do, but people should feel the legislation. They should feel safer from the legislation. They should feel more optimistic from the legislation. They should feel a greater sense of national pride from the legislation. They should feel more knowledgeable about the limits of their own behavior in respect of maintaining peace and good order in the country. You should be able to identify with this legislation and the legislative agenda. And I think that very often we are missing. People were feeling, and people will feel a recall law for members of parliament. Am I lying? Let me see if anybody will text me. But anybody feel a recall? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. I'm so sorry. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lyon.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, I enjoyed everything that you've said so far with the way you have analyzed the situation with the speech from the throne. And I will endorse what Anton said. I trust and hope that the Free National Movement would, because I understand they need this day or tomorrow, they need to come to grips with reality. And Mr. Minister not to be the spokesperson to rebut or to go or to say anything with respect to the speech from the throne. In fact, he should have been in Parliament. That's my, in terms of being the opposition leader, no, that ought not to have happened. The defeat to FNM had was so devastating, he should have never been at the helm. Someone, yes, I understand they could have their overall convention for the leader, but I say, and Mr. Pintard, and in my opinion, my former MP, because I was not in this area this time, Shannon Cartwright, could have been the two men holding the FNM card up in this present time until they go to convention next month and make a decision as to who will lead them going forward. But Prime Minister, please let it go. Your ego, sir, you've cost the FNM one of his worst defeat. Please, go. The Yemen people want you gone. I don't want to see him. When I turn on my TV and radio, I don't want to hear. He need to make way for new leadership with bold and bright ideas as to how they're going to advance the course of the Free National Movement. Anything short of that, the FNM will be in exile for a long time.
I got you, brother. Thank you for your call. Thank you. Appreciate it. We got another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Brother Lang, how you doing?
Hey, I'm okay, man. And yourself?
I'm doing terrific. Just want to respond to the previous caller.
Mm.
You have to understand that this is a democratic society. Mm. Someone could lose an election, but that man was democratically put there. Regardless of whether you like him or not, he is democratically put there. Now, if he does not find it within himself to remove himself, the people cannot move him unless it goes to either a coup where he feels compelled to be removed, or secondly, it comes to a convention.
And yeah, but he's only expressing a view, eh?
No, I understand that. I'm not chastising him, I'm just informing him. This is the democratic process.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
Coming up to the next convention, and this is something that is so pivotal to all of these political parties. Persons who feel inclined that they want to run for leadership, they are inclined to put their names in the hat and let the delegation select who they want. But, you know, everyone has a purpose, and regardless of how we look at things, there's blessing and curses for each and every one of us. But there's a role we have to play, and that role is going to play regardless of whether we like it or not.
Mm.
So that's all it's at right now. But in terms of yesterday, the proceedings yesterday, Brother Lang, very impressive. I mean, it showed that, you know, that there is still that we observe here. And in closing, you know, it's going to be quite interesting to see how well the current government is going to utilize the skill sets and the talents of all of the people, not just the PLPs, because the government is the government for all the people, not just PLPs. And that's something I keep hearing all day. It seems as if the impression is that they are all for just PLPs. No, this is our government. The government is there to do our bidding. And until we get that across our minds and through our heads and decide to either come together to build this country together.
I got you. Thank you. Appreciate you calling. Appreciate you calling. This text says, I consider you a very wise individual, and this is the level of conversation that our country needs. Thank you. Ms. X text says, Mr. Lang, no one is always fastidious in every word, every time on pronouncing. I have a people mispronounced integral as integral, integral as integral data. They say data. And what happened to the word suspicious instead of saying suspect, which makes no sense to replace a noun with an adjective. Forget all the English folk out today. We got another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Now, hi. We, right, both parties, get the change that we need to expand who can vote. I would say like...
Can you speak up? I don't know what's happening with your mic, Hello? But you're very low.
Really? I'm on my cell phone. Hello?
Yeah, you're a little better now. Yeah.
I think the party needs to expand the base. Who can vote? Financial, young or old. Then they get a feel of... Because right now, the PFPFM, like, didn't feel... The party, the story didn't feel Christy would lose. But it was a landslide. The Stalwart this time did not feel. In fact, Minister ain't calling him. How much? Minister ain't calling him. It's called a convention in for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But
they had a convention in 5 years, man.
Okay, but let's say, like on the state, you have to be a registered person to vote for that particular primary, right? You have to be registered as the Democrat to vote in the primary. But who will be your leader? We need to change our system in the party. Every child carrying financial member should be able to vote for the leader or chairman. Then you will get a feeling, and they'll be able to come to debate. We get the smartest mind in the party, the brightest mind in the party, and we as citizens, we get the best leader in our country. I feel like that if former leader, this is so-called friend to be the leader. And nobody don't stand against him. We ain't getting the best leader or the brightest mind to run us. But I want to see more in a debate fighting amongst themselves, like Darren Cass against somebody, and the party picks who is the best leader. And even like, do you remember how Minister Fire said to us? He said to us, I'm going to hump every 2 years. I'm going to pick a senator every 2 years. That's the first and last time he did that.
Right.
But like, Senator the real FNM. She wanted to be Marathon MP. And because she thought she was like an Ingram, or she's an Ingram, she literally saw on Bay Street and then tell us a big lie. And this guy's in failure for 7 more years. That ain't right.
All right, brother. Appreciate your calling. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversations. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pull my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Send pics of the damage, file my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You got to go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Other than skin cancer, breast cancer is the most common cancer in women. Breast cancer is also the second leading cause of cancer death in women, after lung cancer. Can you help? Yes, you can. You can encourage women to take steps to help lower their risk of developing breast cancer and help find it early when it might be easier to treat. You can also help connect women facing breast cancer to patient programs and services they might need throughout their treatment, just during Breast Cancer Awareness Month and throughout the year. 2021 has been a powerful reminder that we are all in this together. and our choices and actions have the power to protect the most vulnerable among us in a big way. By working together, we can inspire hope and become a force for good and help create greater awareness during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. To participate in our upcoming supplement, be sure to contact Guardian Media's advertising department today or your account executive.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas at scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
Proper hand washing is extremely important as we continue to fight the spread of COVID-19. We touch many surfaces throughout the day. It is important to be mindful of where we place our hands as we may be touching contaminated surfaces and making ourselves sick. This is why you are encouraged to not touch your face. You must wash your hands often throughout the day to prevent infecting yourself or someone else. Always wash your hands before eating and after using the restroom. Wash your hands before and after you care for a sick person. Remember to wash for 20 seconds each time with soap and water, scrubbing your hands together and covering all surfaces of the hand. This simple step saves your life. Let us protect ourselves and each other.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at all, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Do we still have a call on the line? Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, sir. We're listening to you.
Yes, good day, Mr. Lang.
Hi, yes, sir.
I don't understand why these callers, you know, especially the third caller and the last caller for even the third caller, he's a frequent caller. We serve on the police force together, but he know why he is, and I know he is. I don't know why, you know, he every day he comes on, not only on our show, every show, like, he don't want to see minutes in his sight, but what he got on, son, I know he is not a supporter of the effort. I'm so what do we have? I'm that much against Dr. Menace, the man in the seat. Give him time to do what he need to do. Don't come on like he want threaten the man. He don't want to see him on this, and he don't want to see him. The man make his response reference to the speech from the 20th yesterday. So he had a right to do that. Like he was duly elected. That boy Roscoe need to stop his stupid talk, because every show, not only your own Chicago, he goes on every show and do the same thing. Like he is some big shot.
All right, brother. I appreciate you calling. All right, we got another call on the line? No? So let me tell you all, right? If I were Prime Minister Davis, which I'm not, which I may never ever be in my lifetime, right? But if I were Prime Minister Davis, yes, how I would approach the speech from the throne. I would have laid out a schedule of sessions focused on single or dual themes in each session. Let me give you an example. I would have laid out a 12-month session of Parliament that was dedicated to addressing the health concerns of the country, not merely in respect of the pandemic, though that would have had to be front and center, but also in respect of other health considerations of a country. Why? Because by and large, your health circumstances affect the entirety of your society in terms of quality of life, your economics, your social interactions, all of those are affected by it. So it would have been a theme based on health. That didn't mean other things that came up wouldn't be done, because you have to do other things, particularly as an example, you have to do a budget. And again, based on the priority, the budget might have reflected my theme in that session, right? And then, and maybe dualistically, I would have had a theme centered around the economics of the country, priority of the people. So I would have generated legislative initiatives that would have been aligned with trying to prosper the people of the country, job creation and business development and income improvements and income distribution enhancements and these kinds of things, to focus the country on those things as a matter of legislative agenda. And so that way I would have roped in any enactment of laws that could benefit people as to their doing business, benefit people as to their labor circumstances and so forth. And so that might even roped in some immigration reform issues that could bring Bahamians in better stead in terms of jobs vis-a-vis some other jobs that are done by non-Bahamians, these kinds of things, but it would have been an intense focus. So you would have known this is a health-related session or an economic-related session or a health and economic-related session, right? And then I would have indicated that, we're going to have a governance section. And this way, then this one, we are focused on the things that strengthen our governance mechanisms, where we are looking at how we help you participate more broadly in the process. For instance, to pass legislation such that we can actually have digital voting, where citizens didn't have to leave their homes in the event of a pandemic to vote, but they could vote safely, securely, and confidently for their country. Or you make amendments to make sure that we have procedures in place for people who may want to vote wherever they are in the world. Wherever they are in the world. Okay? So under strengthen governance structures that related to the tenure of a prime minister, related to the conduct of public officials and all that, any kinds of things around strengthening governance, but you would have known that's the intense focus that particular session. And what that, to my mind, I mean, I'm not saying that's the best approach, I'm just saying it's an approach that we have seen. It would allow the country to have a concentration and a focus around a set of things we can all conversate about, as opposed to you tossing this thing on here about health, that thing over there about the economy, that thing over there about environment, and people can't keep track. They can't have a good conversation because they can move on to the next conversation in a minute. And it shows that you are organized. That's why it shows you're organized. Let me tell you something, Mr. Prime Minister, and your colleagues, you all know, I want you to succeed. But the wrong time to catch up in organization when you are in government is when you get to government. You get so busy. You get busy with governing, you get busy with administrative things, you get busy with political things, you got to do the party stuff, you got to do the international participation stuff, you got to do all kinds of things. If you are not organized before that, you are going to be so busy, it'll be difficult to be organized after that. So I want y'all to take a look at what's happening even now in this new administration. What's the narrative that's coming forward? What is the story that's coming forward that you could tell right now? We got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. All right, go ahead, caller.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you. Okay, yes, I can hear you now, yes.
Okay, good. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Okay, I'm good. Good. I was listening to what you were saying just now, and it's really interesting and it's good, but you posed this question, but I called on something else.
Mm-hmm.
With Dr. Minnis, mm-hmm. You know, with history, you were one of the, I think they called you all Young Turks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you all came in that huge blowout in 1992. And Sylvia Rivers.
97.
No, you came in 97?
Yes, ma'am. I was elected for the first time in 97, and the Young Turks were 1997.
They were 1990. Okay, but Mr. Ingram, in 1992, when the FNM came and they blasted the PLP out of the water.
Yes,
and so and you know, the same narrative that's going on now in reference to people saying that Sir Lyndon should go. You know, he needs to resign, right? Mm-hmm. But he held on, and he held on. And I saw some of an interview that Dr. Minnis gave last evening. And some of the passion and some of the same things that he says he wants to do, right? Mm-hmm. For the country, I respected to Sir Lyndon and Dr. Minnis. But, you know, they went into the convention, and he was chosen. He was duly elected as the leader in 1997. Mm-hmm. And I guess, like you say, you were in the forefront, and the PLP was defeated again. You know, so again, you know, it's just like so. Persons are saying, you know, you have some saying, you know, Dr. Minnis needs to, you know, do what he has to do and leave or whatever. But I just wonder, he's not the only leader that this has happened to. So I you know, it's up to the members of the party. When their convention comes to decide, but at the end of the day, whoever is chosen leader of the Majesty's opposition, right? Well, they still affect the entire Bahamas, all of the Bahamian people. So it's not just about PLPs, and it's not just about FNMs. It's about all of us. You understand? So whoever the opposition leader is, and how effective they are. And their strategies, and like you, the advice you're giving the prime minister now, it's important because it affects the entire Bahamas.
Right.
Okay. I just want to say, about listen.
But mind you, you know, just to say, you're absolutely right. You know, people. I mean, listen. People have a right to express their views on Dr. Minnis, et cetera. But Dr. Minnis has done nothing wrong in terms of being the leader because. His party had two sets of elections and kept him, right? So you can't blame him for wanting to stay on if that's his ambition. And if he gets the support of his party. That's why I used to tell people all the time, you can't blame Sir Lyndon for being in office for 25 years. He went to the people of the Bahamas and they elected him for 25 years. Right? So that's not the issue. The question is, you know, you can make a decision as a party whether that decision is going to be to your betterment or not. And that's a decision that the party has a right to make, right? Dr. Minnis can't remain leader of the Free National Movement without the convention of the Free National Movement keeping him so. And so if that's what they decide to do, then it shall be so. It shall be so. But the point I was making prior to the call is that, you know, you can't allow yourself to get so busy in government that you are not organized. And it's easy to happen. And you can look like you're doing things, but you ain't really doing nothing but running up and down. You want to be effective. That's the reality. Right? We got to call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Do we have a caller on the line? All right, go ahead, caller. Okay, I'm not sure what's going on. We seem to be not getting through to you. We do have some text here. Let me read for you. This text is Mr. Lang Papa should have been like Dr. Zhivago. He created Minnis and he watched Minnis destroy all of his people and still help him. Prime Minister on the rally stage. Mr. Lang, only Papa can cut the political head off his monster he created. Wow. Okay. Someone says, are you comparing Minnis to Sir Lyndon? Listen, man, where you get that from? You serious? I compared the fact that Prime Minister Sir Lyndon Finley stayed in office because people voted him in and Mr. Minnis will be leader of the opposition because people, a leader of the FNM because people voted him in. And you think that's a comparison of the two persons? Man, you're going to make me laugh sometimes. This text said, Mr. Lang, would you consider running for leadership of the FNM? I think with all your knowledge and experience, you will make a good leader and bring some zeal back to our party. And let me tell you something. You can be knowledgeable, you can be experienced, you can do have lots of things that might seem positive in terms of leadership. The leadership of political parties is a very intricate thing. I mean, let me tell you, right? Because parties have factions, lots of factions, right? And they're not always concerned about your talents, right? They're concerned about your likability. They're concerned about your alignment with their particular set of things and so forth and so forth. And so there are lots of things to be taken into consideration in terms of being able to be elected leader of the party. Now, let me tell you something. Dr. Minnis had history confer on him a set of accidents that made it possible to become leader of the FNM. That's the truth of the matter. I think that if Dr. Minnis were just out of the blue deciding to run for leadership of the FNM and so forth without the history of what happened around him, it would not have happened. Let me tell you what happened. First of all, he inherited it. He was granted and given a seat in Killarney. Ask just about any FNM wanting to run, past and present. If you wanted to almost guarantee yourself a seat in House Assembly, where would you want to go? They'd tell you Killarney. Back in the day when Sir Orville was there, it was called Delaporte. All right? That's like a routine, almost sure seat, right? Dr. Minnis, therefore, got a prime seat in the FNM. To his credit, listen to me, because some of y'all is here with a little bit of foul air. To Dr. Minnis' credit, he was a very good member of parliament. He was. He shone. I mean, he used technology. He had a great team. He looked very good in his constituency. We then lost the election. He remained among seven or eight. Amongst them, he appeared to be the most successful member of parliament and therefore the person who Mr. Ingram supported also for leadership, which was important, very important, and therefore they rallied around him as opposition leader. What people forget is Dr. Minnis was not the leader of the Free National Movement when he became the leader of the opposition. He wasn't, right? He then, in a convention, was elected leader of the Free National Movement. But it all started with this prime seat that he got. Not because his talents were such that he would be so magnificently received. That was not it. Even when Dr. Minnis won his seat, when he won the government, it was largely, people will tell you, the analysis will tell you, not because his people. It was because people were weary and tired and angry with Mr. Christie and his crew. Just as they were angry and tired of Dr. Minnis in many respects and voted for the PLP or did not vote for the FNM. So accidents of history can bring you into leadership in ways that no one could even conspire. Do you think that Mr. Ingram thought that I don't believe that Mr. Ingram thought that Dr. Minnis would ever be Prime Minister of Ireland. I do not believe so. But the events of history conspired in such a way to make it possible. And that's why you cannot count anyone out in terms of potential leadership of this country. You can't. You can't run around and say, oh, you'll never be. Anybody ever thought Mr. Davis would be Prime Minister of Bahamas? Anybody? Maybe other than Mr. Davis? No. But he's Prime Minister today. Anybody ever thought Dr. Minnis would be Prime Minister of Bahamas? I don't think so. But maybe to accept Dr. Minnis, it was so. Now, Nikki Kelly early wrote about Dr. Minnis when he's shown in his constituency in Killarney. And Nikki Kelly, in an article, wrote about the potential of a Dr. Minnis to be a leader. So as for me, that's not even a question in my mind, not something I'm pondering, not thinking about. But but I'm saying that knowledge and skills alone doesn't do it, because I know a great number of Bahamian men and women who are not to lead this country, certainly gifted enough. But might they have that kind of what it factor, or be sufficiently appealing to a cross-section of fractional groupings within a political party to be it? Probably not. As text says, Mr. Lang, what would you say is Dr. Minnis's legacy? That's a very good question, actually. Excellent question. What would I say is his legacy? Well, I have to take my time with that. I think that one's true. I really have to think about that. I'm not sure I have a question for that, an answer for that just yet. Because it is late. I mean, it is early. It's a good question. So, again, I've been in government. I know the activities of government. I know the pull and tug of politics while you are in government. And it is so important when you are in leadership to be able to take time out to think, strategize, to slow yourself down, to understand the environment in which you find yourself and to soak up the priorities in that environment and to be able to think through how to respond to that environment, to take counsel from people who might be able to provide some guidance in the process, to resist the temptation to think that you have so much in your own self that you don't need other people, and to really be able to rally around people, even to have people say to you, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's the right way. I don't think that that'll benefit us. Because even if you are right and they are wrong, their challenging will sharpen your ability to think through what it is you think you want to do and help you out that way. I failed in many instances in my life to use that same principle. And I've learned in life to use it. As opposed to being offended by people's resistance to or objection to an idea or thought you have. And I have to say, in many instances, their thought was not right. Mine was right. But because I didn't allow their thought to challenge my own enough, I didn't sharpen my thought enough to be able to be effective and impactful for me. You don't want to make that mistake, especially when you're in a critical situation, not be easily afforded, And so clear your desk and clear your minds, guys, so that you are organized. Organized. When you wake up in the morning, let me tell you something. When you all wake up in the morning, the first and most important question you could ask is, what's the most important thing I can do today? That's your first question. If you, whatever ministry you find yourself in, whatever, don't get busy. Get effective. And that comes by asking every day, what is the most important thing I can do today? And an important thing is a thing that relates to the mission I have. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Stay tuned for our show tomorrow. Now, Azure Black is up next. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Let you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.